But anyway, let's see. Today, what we're going to move on to is, I didn't mean it this way, but I wanted to reflect on Abrahamic covenant and how through faith in Jesus Christ, we're heirs according to the promise. That is in Genesis, right? Genesis 12, etc. And so we learn through Abraham's covenant that we are called to be exceedingly fruitful and multiple. This is just fact. God gave a promise to Abraham saying, you will be exceedingly fruitful and multiple. But there's a condition. If you walk before me, then I believe. So by faith, he was righteous. So salvation is by faith. There's no condition for that. To receive the and the promise I gave, God gave of beauty exceeding all the time. The condition is walking before him. So that's something I don't want to easily saying this so that we can remember. Then I moved on. How can you move on from Genesis without talking about Joseph? Joseph's story is pretty major. And from Joseph's story, I just wanted to highlight how Joseph was able to suffer well his hardship. Being betrayed by brothers, sold to a caravan, sold to Potiphar's house in Egypt, and then in prison. And finally, he elevated to be second in the nation. And how he, acknowledging that God is present in his life, whatever is happening in our life, good things or even difficult things, God is present and he's trying to do something, even through difficult times. So this was a very personal application. But remember, God is present and he's good. But what I didn't mention before I ended last week was Joseph's kind of declining in his life of going from bad to worse, just things getting worse, is what you call the theological term humility. He was going from being humble to be humbler and humbler and humbler. So this is a path of humiliation before the exaltation. Humiliation, exaltation. And in a word of this in Philippians chapter 2, take on this attitude of Christ. He humbled himself, emptied himself to be obedient to the promise. Then the Lord exalted him above all men, where every knee shall bow and confess Jesus. So Jesus is the one who really came from heaven to earth as a man. In fact, the lowest, being born in the manger. And then being despised by his own creation, prosecuted unjustly, persecuted, and crucified. This is the path of Jesus from the highest place to the lowest place. And because he was crucified on the cross, and he was exalted, he was sinless to be obedient to the promise. And so then he came to confess Jesus. So he passed the test. He came to die for us on the cross, but he learned obedience step by step. Through the humiliation, Jesus was being humble from being in heaven with the Father, being a man, and he being a man. So this is a pattern of how God uses us. I just mentioned in one of my notes that lordship is a prerequisite to be attached to the vine. But in order to submit to the lordship of Christ, we need to be abandoned to our own. We need to be humble. Without being humble, you can't be submitted to the Lord. If myself is alive, I'm the Lord. If Jesus is not the Lord. So, in order for us to really be used of God, God is going to take us from our prideful self the next level of humility. We need to go through the process of humiliation in our teams. But you know, when you're humiliated, what do you feel? I want to get out of this. Get me out of here as soon as possible when you're like uncomfortable and be humble. I've been making disciples for 40 years, but the people who are used to God is those who pass the test. So when these situations come in your life, do not seek to run away. Always submit to the test of humility. Again, I say this, what Joseph went through is humiliation and his time to go to God. So actually, Joseph is an image of Christ. Illusion. Joseph's story of life, Joseph's life story of being humbled as an exalted to be the second in the nation of Egypt is an image of Christ. And therefore, we can take charge. Anyway, I don't want to go too long, otherwise this becomes a message again. So I was thinking that I'm holding up, but I think I need to hit the other characters in Genesis. If I talked about Abraham and Joseph, I guess I should talk about Isaac and Jacob. So today will be about Jacob. Next week, today will be about Isaac. Next week will be about Jacob. So, interestingly, this Isaac story, Isaac doesn't have a major happening. But among the major happening is this story that's pretty prominent. The other major happening is intertwined with Jacob, where Jacob lies. That's the blessing of Isaac. But that's kind of like Jacob's story. But just Isaac's story alone, is actually a love story. Isaac's story in Genesis is prominently this love story. And this is one of my favorite of two, how to wait for a lifetime partner. Today, you guys are in luck or blessed. I'm going to talk about how to wait for a lifetime partner. And it's talking about Isaac. But this is one of two examples in the Bible that I really enjoy about how to really trust God for a lifetime partner. How many of you are excited about finding your mate? Finding your girlfriend who will be your wife? How many of you are excited finding your boyfriend who will be your husband? Come on, let's see. Be honest. It's okay. Everybody should raise their hand. Well, today's it. This is the time. They're going to be instructed how to do that well. To do that well, I think I got your attention. Well, first, but this is one of two. The first one is actually Adam and Eve's story that teaches me about how to wait well. So how did God make Adam? Out of the dirt. He brought the dirt together and made a clay. And he made his legs, made his, you know, everything about him and his head, and he blew a blanket. And then after he made Adam, he said, all the animals have partners, but man does not. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner. God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper to help Adam do the work of God. It doesn't mean the woman is less in value, just have a different function. Adam will be given the work of God to do. God will create an appropriate helper who can support a man to do God's work together. Well, you know, before God provided Adam with a partner, what did he do? After he made him, he put him to sleep. Deep sleep. And when he put him to sleep, then he got to working on making Eve. So he took the rib out of Adam's side. And with that rib, plus more clay, he made Eve. He was making Eve. It took a little time, you know, he took all the time he needed to form Eve wonderfully. Then once God was done forming Eve, then God came to Adam and said, Adam, wake up. Ta-da! And you know, when Adam woke up and saw Eve, you know what he said? Whoa, man, that's great. So, woman, you know, a woman. So, God allowed Adam to do is name the woman. And Adam named Eve. Who named Adam? God. So the one who names the name has authority over. So that's why God has authority over Adam. But God put Adam above Eve having authority. So again, it's not a question of value. God values both man and woman. God placed the functional man having the leadership over the man. So, but the problem is, many times when God tells us to stay asleep, we can wake up before it's time. Before God made the Eve, we ourselves can say, I need a woman. Where's my woman? So you wake up early and say, hey, are you the woman? Let's try. Are you the woman? Let's try. Are you the woman? So sometimes guys can get overly excited about finding their. And before it's their time when they need to be asleep, just obeying God. What was Adam doing when he was asleep? He was obeying God. Before Eve is provided for you, our calling for men is not to just go around looking for Eve, trying different needs. Are you my fit? Oh, no, you're not my fit. Let me try it out. Oh, are you my fit? No, you're not my fit. And so that's not obeying God. Obeying God is just being asleep in terms of finding him. Just be faithful to serve God and obey. That's the big guy. Place Adam or us men. And when that happens, and when that is done, calmly be obedient to God, and God will bring the person perfectly. Then God makes the match. So I've seen people get matched up. And let me tell you, there's some couples that I see like matchmaking. But then there's couples that I see. I'm not sure if that was well done either. You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of stories, even in our ministries. Like, there was a disciple who was interested in one sister, and then the leader came across and took her with him. You know, I was like, man, that's not cool. So, in the way things are done is also sometimes not well. So, sometimes not a good match, sometimes not well. But I really encourage our brothers and sisters to lay a good foundation. May you come to a person by faith, and may you do it in God's way. And then be a foundation. I think it's solid, at least. Two, make sure that your union is led by God. Not you initiating and overexcited to try. It's a situation, perhaps. But God will allow, perhaps, maybe not the kind of match that God really has wanted to give you a bit of blessing. But if you initiate, I think, sometimes mismatch, maybe even God allows so that. So you know what there's a book called Opposites Attract. But after they get married, the opposites attract. Does that make sense? It's like, yeah, we know that opposites attract. And but the thing is, there's many people you're attracted to. Right? There's many opposites. You think that person's attracted, that person's attracted. It doesn't mean you can go for everyone. So you just grab somebody you're attracted to, get married. That opposite, if you're not mature, both of you are not spiritually mature in character, opposites attract. It's okay. Go ahead and get married. The whole marriage life will be through the attacking. You have to be sanctified. So you know, God wins either way. God wins either way. If you go initiate yourself and get a mismatch, and then you get a toxic relationship, you deserve it. You know, and you need to go through it to be patient before the Lord takes you. But sadly, sometimes if you don't respond well, then the result is worse. That's what happens. The person is not. So anyway, that is my first favorite illustration of how to wait for God's person. It's guys, stay asleep. Don't get up before your time and run around and try to match your rhythm. And ladies, actually the ladies, is just letting God form you to be a God people. And don't worry, ladies. You know, in a way, you kind of in a place of kind of waiting, in a way, rather than going and shaking. But if you are humbly waiting, letting God shape you, God will wait. But the second best is Isaac's story. The love story here described for Isaac. And so, and this starts in chapter 24. It says in chapter 24, in verse 1. Now, Abraham was old, advanced in age. And the Lord has blessed Abraham in every way. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge over all that he had. So this is the oldest servant. He said, please put your hand under my thigh. I guess this is a solemn promise, the way they make solemn promise. Put your hand under my thigh. You know? And I will make you swear by the Lord, God of heaven and God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you will go to my country, to my relatives, and take a wife for my son. Take a wife for my son. So Abraham's really, really old, and at this time, Sarah is right after Sarah passed. So she lived about, I think, 127 or 128 years. But she had Isaac at 90 years. How old was Isaac? She had 90 Isaac. So 37 or 30, almost 40. That's how old Isaac was. But Isaac was going through mourning time. It could be anywhere from 1 to 3 years. 37 to 40. So, one thing is that Sarah died and Isaac was going to be sad. But also, Abraham was old. And he wanted to make sure his son has a wife, not from the people of the land who were Canaanites. And Canaanites worship other gods. He definitely did not want Isaac to marry you know, non-Yahweh worshipers. The Yahweh worshipers were in the land of Mesopotamia, where he came from, land of Ur. So he wanted his servant to go to my original land where my family started. They went from land of Ur, the city of Ur, went to Paran, up there by Jordan, and then came down to that. So he told the servant to go and find a wife for my son. And then servant responded, verse 1. Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where he came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back. The Lord God of heaven took me from my father's land, father's house, and from my land of my birth. And who spoke to me, who swore to me, saying, your descendants, to your descendants, I will give this land. So the servant said, if I go and the woman is not willing to come with me to the land of Canaan, should I take Isaac back to the land where you were born? And Abraham said, never. God took me from where I was born to the land of Canaan to give me this as a possession for a promised land that he gave. So in no way should Isaac leave this land of promise. You have to go back to where his family started. And then Abraham assured him, to your descendants I will give them. And he said, I will send, or he will send, God will send his angel before you, and you will take the wife of my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take. So this is really an adamant command to the servant. Yes, finding a wife for my son is important, and I want not the women of Canaan, which is the secular, you know, foreign god worship. Abraham wanted his son to marry God worship, Yahweh God worship. But not only that was important, but he says, I want you to be God sent me here by faith, and I'm here, and I want to go back away from the land. Does that make sense? And so this will be important when we talk about Jacob. You can take it right away. And so, but anyway, so the servant took 10 camels and many good things, which included like gold and silver. And he went to the land of Mesopotamia, where actually Abraham's family was born, and came to the city of Nahor. And who was Nahor? Nahor was the brother of Abraham. They had the same father, Terah. And so he went to this land of Nahor, and he came near the city and where the well, where the women would come to. So, you know, this servant was intelligent. Where do you find women? Oh, by the well. You know, women come by the well to draw water. So he used his wits a little bit. So he said, well, where can I find water? By the well. So he went to the city of Nahor and went to where the well is. And he was there when the women are about to come and draw water. And he prayed. He prayed, oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Show loving kindness to my master, Abraham. Behold, I'm standing here by the spring. The daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant. So, you know, the servant was, he had his own faith. He also believed in God, God of the Master. And the way he prayed was is quite humbling. You know, definitely he worshiped God, so he prayed to God. But he said, give me success so that grant me the success today. Show loving kindness to my master here. He received the mission, but he didn't take it as an ownership and said that, God, I have this very important mission. Give me success for myself. He said, give me success so that my master, Abraham, will be blessed. So even in receiving the mission, it was not about himself being successful. You know, in these days, there's a couple of words, one word going on, it's ownership. If I do something, I need to have ownership. I have to say, this is my problem. This is my thing. So that when I am successful, that I can receive the glory. That's not biblical ownership. Actually, the reward is a stewardship. When we're entrusted a job to do, or a project to do, or a responsibility to, it's not yours. You're entrusted that responsibility. So, you're doing it for God. And you're doing it for the person who entrusted you that responsibility. So for this servant, the ignorant servant, you know, he's doing it for God, asking God to help him. But he's doing it for him. Not for himself. So this is a very, you know, selfless posture of service. And you know, there's an allusion to Christ here. And you wonder where Christ is in this story. The servant has a very Jesus did nothing apart from the Father's instruction. And he was to glorify, obey the Father, and to serve to God. There's something to learn from the servant. But the story goes on, and a woman comes along, it's Rebecca. And behold, in verse 12, verse 15, behold, he had finished, before he had finished speaking, praying, behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother. So basically, it's kind of like their cousin.
Those days, it was okay, guys.
Their cousin is okay. Not now, but back then, it's okay. Yeah. So, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor came out to her, came out with her jar on her shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful and a virgin. Okay, I'm going to go through the story and identify her. Unique God. Okay. So she was a beautiful woman, a virgin, and no man had a relationship with her. And she went down to the spring and filled the jar and came up. And then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. Okay, here it is. So he prayed, may he be a person, if I say this, she would give him water and also say, I will water your camels too. Let's see if that happens. So he ran to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And then verse 18, she said, drink, my Lord. She quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Oh, test one, ask. She quickly brought the jar down and let him drink. That was great. Now, When she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels until they have finished drinking. Whoa! Second requirement. I will also draw water for your camels until they're finished drinking. Servant's like, well, these are my two conditions. Could she be it? Could this girl be it? She is beautiful too. And so she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water. And she drew water for all his cattle. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence and knowing whether the Lord made his journey successful. So here goes. She gave him a drink of water and she said, I will also, you know, give water to your cat. And she quickly took her jar, went and filled it, gave to the camel, and went back. She's going back and forth, you know? And here's the servant word. And you know, he's like thinking about his prayer of what he asked God. Actually, there's a lot of amazing color about this amazing color. And so, I would say for ladies in this room, in this church here, this is for you. You can learn from Rebecca how to prepare, you know, how to be made by God so that you will be ready for times of things. So how should you prepare? First of all, she was a beautiful woman who was a virgin. No man had it. And I think that's true of, you know, godly sisters we have. And but you know, in this time of age, you know, there's, you know, when people come to Christ, they're not always a virgin. But at least if you become a Christian, I consider when people are forgiven by the Lord, they are as a virgin. But as a Christian, you want to continue to grow in holiness. There's a holiness and purity aspect as women, you want to. For the summer. But this is a very important quality. And I believe that rather than our form of beauty, which is also there as well, is a purity of heart. Purity of heart is where the true beauty is. And you know, the fact that she came out to the well with her jar, she was faithful in her duties. Just kind of faithful in doing what her duties are, her work that God is allowing. But she has a quality of faithfulness. Kind of like the disciples, you know, I said, the common thing about the 12 disciples, even though they're from different professions, is that they were faithful, available. They were all faithful to do their work. Peter was faithfully catching fish. Matthew was faithfully collecting taxes, you know. So they're all being faithful to what they're doing. So here, Rebecca is a woman who is faithful in doing what she is called. So this is how ladies can prepare with purity and holiness and faithfulness and things that God has impressed them. But you know, this other aspect is pretty clear is she was a really humble servant. Can you see that? A humble servant. She didn't have to do it. Not all women would do this. Humble and selfless servant. When the servant asked her for a drink, she quickly lowered it to her and gave the word. It's not slow. It's like this. When somebody, you know, asks you, hey, let me have a drink.
I'm gonna have to take it off of my shoulder and give you a drink.
All right. Is that a humble person? You know, reluctantly giving is not a humble person. But instead she goes, oh, quickly. You know, she was a quick to serve, a humble and selfless, and she was quick to serve. She quickly gave him a drink of water. And then she quickly went to draw more water and gave water to the cat. And she ran, actually. And so the servant was going, wow, this girl is pretty humble. Selfless. She's eager. What a quality. Selfless and humble quality. So no matter whether it's in the Bible or even today, you know, who's a more mature and respectable person is a humble and sacrificial or humble and selfless person. That's still a value today. Would you rather be partnered up with somebody who's selfish and proud or humble and selfish? So we see here for Rebecca that she had a very humble and selfless posture in her choice. So the other aspect that, you know, I will just fast forward because this is what I wanted to say for the other side, and there's a guy here. Preparation for God matching people together. So the last quality that I would probably see is after she did this and the servant gave her she took gold ring weight half a shekel and two bracelets for her wings and shekels. That's a lot of money. And after the servant asked, whose daughter are you? And he realized it was the daughter of Abraham. So he fell to the ground and worshiped God and gave her gold ring, weight, half a shekel, and two bracelets. And then her brother came and said, we have plenty of place to lodge, come on in. And then there's a story of him explaining that to his family. And then his family then saying, well, if that is what God is saying and doing, then what holds us back? So let us, you know, give our daughter to you. And so everybody agrees, right? And they eat. The next morning, they get up and the servant says, you know, God has given me success. Let me leave now. The next morning, he said, let me leave now back to my master's house, taking Rebecca. But then her brother and her mother was a little bit hesitant. Well, that seems a little sudden and we're going to miss her. So why don't you let her stay for about 10 days? 10 days with us. Because this is kind of all of a sudden. And we're not sure if the girl would want to do that. But the servant goes, but the Lord has given me success. I do not wish to be held back. And then so the mother or the father says, well, let's ask the Lord. Bring her back. What do you want? And how did you respond? Okay, it said in verse 55, but the brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days. Say 10 days. 10 days. After she may go. And he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has crossed my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. In verse 57, and they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then he called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. How's it going? What does that say about this woman?
Amazing.
You know, ladies, if somebody, some guy comes to you and say, I have this master who's rich, but then, he said to get a wife for his son, and I think you're it. Are you so willing to, follow this man? Wait a minute. Are you sure? Are you sure this is not a, one of those, on job? Today, you have to check on the internet, is this a real stuff or not, right? But you know, I believe she had the Holy Spirit. When she heard the story from the servant, that his master said to her, to find a woman for his son who worshiped Yahweh. And I asked God for two conditions, and you will. And then I found out you are the daughter of my brother, of my master's brother. That has to be best. And so the servant shared it, and the family agreed with it. And she's seeing all this, and she's saying, this must be it. She feared God, and she worshiped God, but she was able to do this. Now, even though it's from God, to say, I will not leave my family the day after you meet this guy. Is that normal? No, that's like, it's a lot of faith. Even if you know God is leading you to something, to say, okay, I'm going to sell everything. You know, I'm just going to leave everything, I'm going to go. That takes a lot of trust. I don't even know where this land Canaan is. I don't even know what this Abraham uncle, he's a family member. But who knows if this guy is using it? And this Isaac, I don't know who this Isaac is, but is he a good guy? Is this the kind of guy I want to marry? I don't even know this guy. You know? And so there's a lot of doubt. But she said, I will go. But I think there's a spiritual courage in her. She had spiritual courage. Ladies, I wish that for you. May you have, if God leads you, and you know, it is God by the Holy Spirit and God's word and affirmation of a godly community. And you have a spirit of courage and faith to this. But that takes still spiritual maturity. You need to kind of grow. So for Isaac, now he doesn't even know what's going on. All he knows is that my dad sent the servant somewhere across. And so what all this is God is making the woman. He was already making the woman in the lack of this Mesopotamian, this woman. Guys, you may not know where your future wife or future husband is, but God is out there making that person not be in the store and kind of come. When God will use servants like Abraham's servants, to intercede, and God is going to bring the connection. God is not. You don't have to worry about, am I going to get married? You need to be for initiative. If I don't grab this guy or this girl, somebody else isn't going to take it. This is a classic fear. You know that? Because I get a fellowship, there's sisters, brothers, and if somebody feel like, you know, somebody beautiful or somebody handsome or, you know, they have something for them. Instead of letting God prepare and orchestrate the situation and adopt that, repent, guys. Okay. Just to, because I have fear. If I don't do it now, somebody else is going to fear. That's not a fear. That's not for you. If she was meant for you, God is going to keep her for you. But if you get nervous and say, I'm just going to initiate to other people's path, then that's not. Sometimes ladies, you know, they have a very subtle strategy. I'm not saying this about you, bro, but we've seen this happen. Is that if a lady likes some brother in the ministry, you know what they do in a casual sharing? Oh, I'm praying about this brother. When you say I'm praying about this brother, they say, girls, stay out. You're going to put your mark on this brother. These things did happen, it does happen. But in a way, it's a subtle, like, kind of playing something. Everybody, don't touch this brother. You know? And sometimes guys do that trick. You know, I like this stuff, guys. Stay away. But I had a situation where 9 guys like 1 girl. 9 guys fell for this 1 sister. Oh, that's the record, by the way. In our ministry, that's the record. I was counting 1 by 1 by 1. Here's what I said to the guy who came to me. He liked this girl, his sister said, congratulations, you're the 9th guy. So I told all the brothers, if you like somebody, make sure you tell me. So I can tell you who else liked that person. And what I do is I do the traffic control. I do the traffic control. First come, first serve. So even recently I had, you know, some crazy work with the guys, you know. All right, you pray first, okay? You go ahead and try it out, see if it works. If it doesn't work, then the next guy will. Everything. So we're trying to be orderly here and be very careful, because sometimes if you try it and it doesn't work out, you know, people can get hurt. So I expect people to be correct with me so that we can do it orderly. Traffic control and godly. Right. So but the time will come when God, if you are faithfully forming Christ's likeness in your life, ladies, the time will come when God will bring the person that you are to partner up with in his way. God even it's a miraculous way God did this, right? But this is for the women. Here's for the guys. That's the first today's passage. 62. Now, Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the air. It's kind of interesting because then you have a way that Abraham lied about his wife Sarah. He's like, sure enough, he did the same thing. Isaac did the same thing. He lied about, you know, Abraham. But he was there. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. When he lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, camels were coming. This is Isaac's day. This is Isaac's day. He didn't even think about what's going on. He may have known that his servant, Abraham's servant, wanted to find a wife, or maybe not. He just, even if he did, you know, he would never know whether he had a wife. success. There'll be somebody, you know, who said why or not. So you just, you know, he was just kind of like doing his own thing. But what he was doing, what was Isaac doing when Rebecca was found and was being brought? Isaac went out to meditate and meditate. What was Isaac doing when God brought Rebecca?
Meditate.
He was having devotion. He was having devotion with God in the fields where he worked. So for guys, before God brings the right woman, that already made woman into your life, you shouldn't be awakened trying out this woman or that woman or that girl. Don't be distracted by, you know, amor. You know the different kind of love, right? There's agape love, which is the selfless Christ love. And there's a phileo, the family kind of a brotherly love. And then there's amor. More sensual. Before your time, that is legal when you get married. But if you're not married and you're concerned about sexual drive and maybe you are being moved by lust, that's not God. That's how you can make a bad mistake. Get matched up with the wrong person. And be a lifetime trainer. But instead, Isaac was being devoted to God. He was focused on his devotion. And he was faithful working on the field. He was going to bear Leroy and then he was next to the field. The field represented where he worked. Whether it be your professional work, but also your ministry. Whatever God gave you to do ministry, to serve Him, seek and save the lost, and to make disciples, and, you know, doing spiritual harvest reaping work is also your work. But then if you don't know if God has given you what ministry to do. And I don't suggest that you see what kind of ministry did God give you, what kind of work, what kind of spiritual work is God doing. Don't seek that to achieve that. If you have not been trained and mature devotionally, if you're not mature character-wise, if you have not matured in ministry training, don't seek for what ministry did God call me? That's a very mature thing. Is when you grow maturely, then you can get to see what is God calling me to in ministry. It's after you're mature. Are you following what I'm saying? But you, to have a field, to have a work, not only professional work. Anybody graduate from college, you can get a work. You don't have to be mature in any other direction. You just, if you train in college in a certain area, you get a job, you can get a job. But in terms of spiritual work, ministry work, you can't just get that until you're spiritually mature. Devotion, mature in character, mature in ministry growth, proven character in ministry. Unless you have that maturity, you can't really see. What did God call me in ministry? That is not something you can be thinking about before. So for Isaac, I believe he was mature emotionally. In terms of work, but also being a good representative and God, so God worshiper. And you know what else he did? So when the camels are coming, caravan, camels, I wonder who they are. And then verse 64 says, Rebecca lifted her eyes. So this is a scene from Rebecca. Rebecca lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She came off of the camel. So there's somebody in the field. She came off the camel, and she said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field? So, you know, she knew that she was getting really close to the lad that came in. She got off and wanted to properly. And the servant said, he's my master. Abraham's master, but also Isaac's master. She took her veil and covered it. She took her veil. That's like the tradition of that time. You don't meet strangers without covered himself, herself, and to getting ready to meet Isaac. He's my master. She took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. So when they came to Isaac, the servant told him, Isaac, everything that happened. And he's just probably amazed too. Wow, you made that as two conditions, and she met it? And you went and stayed with her family, and her family was totally in agreement. And you said, you're going to leave the next day, and she said, okay. He was just impressed by what he was. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah. He took her back up. And he. There's a little bit of that, you say. When she came with her veil, he didn't look at her. He couldn't look at her facial beauty. He just took her into the mother. And then she went. Not because of her facial beauty. You know, it's like, I'm sure your form is, if you can taste it, that's definitely. But he took her into the tent. And there's a kind of a sense that from hearing what God has done and how God led her to be the wife of Isaac. And because he trusted God, that he was able to be secure. Not love her because she looked good, beautiful all the way through. You know how people, when you get married, you have a beautiful woman, beautiful man, or a beautiful man, handsome man. You have a couple of children. No, everybody gets bigger. They're not as beautiful as they're yet. If you base your love for someone because of their attractiveness, love them. But if you love a person because of that person's quality and the sovereign work of God, you know, that love is just spiritual. And you can trust God. God is in this marriage. And this person. Somebody died. Let me text. So this is for you guys. Don't wake up before your time and say, are you the one? Are you the one? No, just be deeply devoted to God. Grow maturely in devotion, in character, and also ministry. You need to be trained. Learning how to be a servant. Mature. Then the Lord will pray. And when you have your concern in the right place, not in the external view, and how God is orchestrating everything like that, he's affirming in every direction, then you will love the person. And greater chance that you will last the rest of your lifetime. But if you come together out of your own initiative and because of external attraction, you know, that goes away. There might not be much foundation to hold you together. That makes sense. You have to have a godly heart, godly eye, godly reason. May the Lord bless you all. For the awesome, godly partner for life. God, we thank you so much for this time together to reflect on Isaac's love story and how you prepare both of it separately and in appropriate in God's sovereign mind, your sovereign mind, and brought it together. They were truly matched, made in heaven. They were able to love each other. And Lord, you used them for the lineage of Christ. Lord, thank you, God, for some lessons that we can draw for ourselves, especially as young people who are looking forward to meeting our lifetime partner. Maybe men and women who could be growing in deep devotion and character and ministry, learning how to trust and enable.